Oh, hey there. Can we please talk about UFC Vegas 54, headlined by Alexander Rakic taking on Jan Blachowicz, or Jan Blachowicz taking on Alexander Rakic? Obviously, recent former champion, Jan Blachowicz, you all know. And Alexander Rakic, you probably should know because he's been fighting, you know, some pretty good people up and down the division. So I've had a look at kind of four fights that kind of jump off the page at me, and what I'm going to be doing is placing some terrible bets, making some predictions, just having a look at the fighters, seeing what's likely to happen, what isn't likely to happen, and then putting down some bets that are almost certainly not going to come off. So yeah, let's take a look at UFC Vegas 54. Right, I'm starting off here in the, what division are they in? Flyweight? Yeah, flyweight. Or feather, yeah, flyweight, sorry. For some reason I've not written that down. But yeah, you've got Jake Hadley taking on Alan Nascimento. Now, Jake Hadley I am familiar with because obviously he came through Cage Warriors. He won the Cage Warriors flyweight title off a friend of mine, Luke Shanks. But yeah, I did say in that fight, I thought that it was... I don't know how long Jake Hadley's going to be making that weight cut. He's usually quite a large guy for flyweight. I mean, he's 5'7", and he's just generally does very well. He's 8-0, so he's not yet been defeated, but he is usually the bigger guy in his fights. He uses that to his advantage. He was able to wrestle a lot of people. And his wrestling is really good. His striking is really good as well, actually. He has got a good punch on him. I think he's got a couple of knockouts on his record. But he is taking on Alan Nascimento. Now, it's not somebody that I'm completely familiar with from Brazil, from the Shootbox de Lima camp. Now, the thing that jumps out of the page at me is obviously you've got Jake Hadley at 5'7" with a 68-inch reach, and Nascimento is 5'8" with a 69.5-inch reach. And I do think that that's probably going to be significant in this one because, as I said, from what I've said, like I said, I'm not saying that Hadley can't win this. Obviously, Hadley is very, very good. But generally speaking, he's usually the bigger guy, and I'm wondering how he's going to fare against somebody who is bigger and actually has really good grappling, because Nascimento he's got very good grappling. BJJ, black belt, he's got 13 submissions out of his 14 wins, I think. What is his record? 18-6, yeah. So 13 of his 18 wins are by submission, which is pretty good, to be fair. And I haven't seen many of his fights. I watched a couple of clips of Nascimento, but that's about it. Hadley I'm far more familiar with. But basically, on this one, like, Hadley's quite a sizable favourite. So for that reason, I am going with Nascimento. Now, the submission isn't there, but you're looking at Hadley at a 1.44 favourite. Nascimento is 2.75. So there's value there just on the win, considering Nascimento's far more experienced, and he is slightly larger, and his submission game is very, very good. So yeah, I'm going to be taking Nascimento as an underdog in that one. Although, you know what, I always root for the British fighters. It's just something that I do. So you know what, I'll bat on Nascimento and hope for a good performance from Hadley. And that is where I'm going with that one. So next on the list, we've got Caitlin Chookagian against Amanda Ribas. Now, this one's interesting because, look, Chookagian, she's going to be a tough nut to crack for Ribas here. Ribas, she's extremely good. She's quite young. How old is she? She's 28. Actually, not as young as I thought. But yeah, Chookagian's 33. So Chookagian's been around a little bit longer. Amanda Ribas, you kind of remember her. She submitted Paige VanZant, and she actually did a really good job against Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern, we all know how good Mackenzie Dern is. Amanda Ribas was able to just kind of control Mackenzie Dern on the ground, and and get the win. And that's a really, really impressive win when you look at it now. Katlyn Chu Kagan, she's been around, man. She's gotten a lot of good wins herself. Antonia Shevchenko, Valentina's sister, is on her record. Cynthia Carvillo. Chu Kagan, she's just one of those fighters who's just really good all round. There aren't really any glaring weaknesses, and she's actually quite good at keeping, she's very good at just keeping the distance and making sure she's outworking her opponents and getting the decision. She's got like 14 decisions out of 17 wins, 14 decisions. So she knows how to win. She knows how to get the nod, which is a very good skill to have. I did say last week that, you know, I wouldn't be, because it was on the CMA podcast, shout out CMA podcast, Dave Keane, great podcast. I did a breakdown of UFC 274 with him before the fact. And I was saying that this about Carla Esparza, that she's just one of those fighters that knows how to win. It might be decisions, they might not be the most exciting fights, but they know how to win. They know how to make sure that the judges see it their way. And, you know, Carlos, and Chu Kagan is another one that she's just very good at doing that. Now, Amanda Ribas, in order to win this fight, she's going to have to get in close. She's going to have to really close the distance and make it kind of ugly, I think. But if she can get in close, get the clinch, and Amanda Ribas, her submission game is excellent. I mean, she's a BJJ black belt and, importantly, a judo black belt as well. So her trips and her throws are actually extremely good. So, again, Chu Kagan is coming in as a favourite in this one. Currently, at the time of filming, Chu Kagan is 1.57, Amanda Ribas 2.38. So I'm going with Amanda Ribas to win this one. The odds on the submission aren't up yet, but I would go with Amanda Ribas by submission. I might do a short clip later if Skybet put the... Well, if they will put the submission odds up. I don't know what they'll be. I don't think you'll get more than 4-1 on the submission. If you get better than 4-1 on the Amanda Ribas submission, I would say take that bet. Because Amanda Ribas, she's extremely... Like I said, it all depends on whether Amanda Ribas can close the distance. If she's unable to close the distance, Katlyn Chu Kagan is going to cruise to another decision here. But for me, I live in hope, rolling the dice on Amanda Ribas to close that distance. And just mix it up with some nasty striking from the inside, and just find those trips, find the throws. And once on the ground, I think Amanda Ribas can cause some real problems, because she's very, very high level. So that'll be interesting to see. Then we have got, I just want to do a quick shout out actually to Davey Grant versus Louis Smoker. Honestly, that's a pick 'em fight for me. I don't really know who is the favourite in that one. I'll tell you what, I don't know if they do odds on it, but I mean, Davy Grant's quite a heavy favourite, but Louis Smoker is pretty good himself. For me, if I can find odds on what is going to be fight of the night, I would say that Grant versus Smoker is probably going to be fight of the night, because David Grant, he's got a very MMA-friendly striking style. He's very, very good. And his fights always end up being these violent kind of affairs. You see the last fight with Chito Vera as an example. Obviously, David Grant came up short in that one. But it's just, he's in those kind of fights all the time. And he's so much fun to watch. And as is Louis Smoker. So it's going to be that one. If I can find odds, I would say that one, I'd put money on that one being fight of the night. But either way, shout out to those two guys. I'm looking forward to that fight. I really don't know who's going to win. But no, Louis Smoker is a sizable underdog. In those kind of fights, I would bet on I'll put money on the underdog every time, because I do think that for me, there's a case to be made for both fighters. I mean, as there always is, but for me, that really is a pick and fight, but it's one that I'm very much looking forward to. Then you've got Ryan Spann versus Ion Cutelaba in the light heavyweight division. Now, this is another interesting one, odds-wise, because you've got Ryan Spann coming in as the underdog, and I was quite surprised by that, if I'm totally honest. Like, Ion Cutelaba is coming in at 1.44, so you're getting less than even money, but you're getting better than even money on Ryan Spann coming in at 2.75. Now, Again, this is another one where when the odds are up for the methods, I'm probably going to put a separate bet on. But for the time being, I'm just going to look at their stats. Now, you've got Ion Cutelaba, like he's this Moldovan berserker is what I would call him. He's a marauder. He goes in and he swings big. He's a very like proficient fighter. He's got a bit of Sambo, a bit of Greco-Roman. He's got big heavy hands. But he does tend to go in and swing very wild. And that was he really faded in his last fight against Devin Clark. And Clark, with respect, is not the greatest of opponents. And I do feel like, no, he went in really, really heavy round one and then just faded very, very quickly. And then you've got his other big win against Khalil Roundtree. That was very, very impressive. But I think that Cutelaba is going to run into some problems here. I really do. Because Ryan Spann, he's very big for the weight class, actually. He's like, even for light heavyweights, he's 6 foot five. He's got an 81.5 inch reach. And compare that to Cutelaba, who's only 6'1" and has a 75 inch reach. Now, I do think that this is going to be some problems, because the thing is with Ryan Spann, he's very good at like he's got long punches and he has good technical striking. And we've seen Cutelaba come unstuck against like Ankalaev, for instance. That's how Ankalaev just picked Cutelaba off, because Cutelaba was just throwing those big winging punches and he could see him from a mile off. I think Ryan Spann's going to be able to do something similar here. I think that Spann is probably going to strike from the outside long enough to make Ion Cutelaba do something silly like shooting. Because one thing that jumps out off the page at me is the amount of guillotine chokes that Ryan Spann actually has on his. He's got a lot of guillotines, and he's a BJJ blue belt, and he tends to get quite a lot of submissions. I'm trying to think he's got 11 submissions on his record, and a lot of those are by way of guillotine choke. I think he got a guillotine's contender series fight. So yeah, I think that Ion Cutelaba is going to come unstuck here. And as I said, the odds they've got him as a massive favorite. Well, not a massive favorite, but quite a heavy favorite. So for me, Ryan Spann is probably my pick of the week, because I feel like 2.75 are getting better than even money, and I would say that actually for me the guillotine's likely, because I do think he's going to strike with Ion Cutelaba for as long as Ion is willing to stand. I think Ion's going to eat a few shots and then he's going to try and shoot in for a takedown, or he's going to do something sloppy, and I feel like Ryan Spann is probably going to find the submission. Like I said, very likely to get a guillotine choke, because he seems to get a lot of them. That's my pick on that one. I'll do a further update if I can once the odds for the submission go up. And then you've got the main event of the evening, Alexander Rakic against Jan Blachowicz. And yeah, this is a great fight. It's a really interesting main event, actually. And you know what? I'm a huge fan of Jan Blachowicz. But I think he might be up against it here, honestly. It just seems like you've got Alexander Rakic, who's 6'4", 78-inch reach. Jan Blachowicz actually has the same reach, only being at 6'2", but he's got those very kind of wide shoulders. He's got like, you know, he's able to... He has got very good long punches, actually, because you see what he really like messed Dominic Reyes up with, was like the long, straight punches right down the pipe. And if he can kind of land some of those, I do feel like he can cause some problems for Rakic on the feet. However, that being said, Rakic, he covers a lot of distance with his kicks. The problem for Blachowicz in this fight is going to be the kicks of Alexander Rakic, because his low kicks are phenomenally good. You know, those low kicks he hit against Anthony Smith were phenomenal. Like, he literally, I think it just took one and Anthony Smith was like, oh dear, that's not good. And we all know how good Anthony Smith is. So to be able to to do that to Anthony Smith was pretty impressive. And also, you look at the kick that he landed, I think it was on Jimmy Manawa. He knocked him out with a head kick. And it's just the amount of ground he covered to land that head kick. I think he caught it right on the end and still got the knockout. But it's just, it's almost like Rakic's range is pretty scary. It's like you think you're out of range, you ain't. You know, he'll wing those kicks out and he'll crack you, he'll catch you. Now, I think that the main way that we could see Jan Błachowicz equal this one out is with the grappling. He's very, very good grappling. We saw that against Israel Adesanya. Jan Błachowicz is... it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of bounces back from... like, because he lost against Glover Teixeira, which is like... you know, which is not a huge deal, but it's... See, it's kind of... with Jan Błachowicz, when it comes to the method, it's kind of like pick your poison. Because out of 28 wins, he's got 8 knockouts, 9 submissions, 11 decisions. And obviously, in his resurgence, he tended to get many more knockouts, actually. He used to get quite a lot. He got it because he got head and arm on Nikita Krylov. That was pretty impressive. And rear naked on Devin Clark. Yeah, so, look. I do think... that the easiest path to victory for Jan Błachowicz is to try and take this down to the ground. Try and get in close, like kind of close the distance with like the long punches. Because what he can do with those long punches is he can kind of follow up, going like close the distance, get in, you know, get in with the head, get in with the clinch and try and find the takedown. But that's going to be difficult against Alexander Rakic. He's a big dude. He's one of those big solid dudes who will kick you if you get too close. And yeah, so my head here definitely says Rakic. However, I think Jan, he's a veteran. He's a very crafty veteran. The crafty veteran. And I don't know why. I've just got a feeling. I've got a feeling he can find the win here. And actually, he's coming in as the underdog. And you know that I love an underdog. So for me, Jan Błachowicz is 2.5 against it. The KO is 4-1. I would say the submission would be the better bet. That's the submission is what I'm personally going to go for. That's plus 10. But I have put him on my accumulator just to win, because you're getting better than even money on that one. It's a risky one, that, because Rakic is really good. Rakic is really, really bloody good. And then, so you put all that together on the accumulator. And what does that come in as? 43.11. And those are all just to win, right? So you've got Nascimento, Amanda Ribas, Ryan Spann, Jan Błachowicz, all to win. That comes in better than 40-1. If it comes in, which it probably won't, because that last one on there, Jan Błachowicz to win, is a risky one. But Błachowicz, he always has a way of surprising people. And he kind of likes coming in as an underdog, so... it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting event. It's going to be a really interesting main event, actually. There are some real gems on this card. So I thoroughly recommend watching it and putting down your own MMA accumulators, your MMA scratch cards. It's like a scratch card, except it's more fun because you get to watch people punch each other in the face. So let me know in the comments, who are you betting on UFC Vegas 54? Because, you know, there's a lot of fights that really could go either way. I personally like to go with the underdogs because the odds are better, but there's probably a reason that they are underdogs. That being said, I'll be going back through these bets and seeing which ones came off, which ones didn't. Going through the news, having a recap of the event on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And until then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.